That dog liked your singing, Riggy. We're in Acts chapter 1 this morning, Acts chapter 1. And I'll read it in its entirety. We're in Acts chapter 1, beginning in verse 6. It reads as follows. So when they had come together, they asked Jesus, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know the times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. And when he had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. Let's go ahead and pray together. Father in heaven, we pray for North Flint Church. And we ask you to walk with them as they walk towards opening their doors to reach the east side of our city. Already you've given them so much influence among the children and the youth of that neighborhood. Bring men and women who love you to come alongside them as a disciple, as they reach that community. We pray for Joe and Kat. They have packed their house and sell it. Lord God, we ask you to just walk with them and let us as a community come around them and bless them as they go, as they have blessed us as they were here. And Lord, for the word that is preached this morning, I ask you to use it to smite our hearts, shake us out of our sleep. There is more to this life than new TV shows and the best restaurants. Give us a passion for your work and your purpose in this world. Lord, wake us up. In Christ's name we ask these things. Amen. When I was in high school, I was a drama nerd. I did plays, I did sketches, I was a part of that crew. And one day after school, I get picked up from school and I'm leaving. My mom and my stepdad picked me up and we're driving around Mott High School there in Waterford, Michigan. I look out in the parking lot and I see some of my drama friends and they're being little nuts. I looked out in the parking lot and sure enough, some of the guys I was just in drama in our play together, they were car surfing in the parking lot. Now car surfing, you young people, don't ever do this, okay? But there was a guy driving a girl and a guy, and one guy was on the stinking car pretending he was surfing, like Teen Wolf style, thinking he was awesome, okay? And he's driving, I see the guy out there, and my first thought is, those guys are so cool, I wish I was like them. I wish I had stayed later, hung out with those guys, because they're really popular and cool. As I'm watching them car surf, I see the guy who's surfing fall to the top of the car. He loses footing and falls off a moving vehicle. And I know that's bad. And so I'm like, Mom, pull over. She pulls over. I jump out of the car. I run across, down the ditch, across the parking lot, and I get to the accident. And I run up, and the kid fell off the car, landed on his head. And he's in a bad way. Like he's unconscious. There's blood coming out of his nose and his eyes. That's bad. The driver of the car is stunned, just staring down at the guy. The girl is like, she's also in shock. So I grab the guy, and I'm like, go inside and get help. And like, so I grab him, like, go inside, get help. He's like, okay. And he runs inside. I take the girl, I put her up, sit her down on the curb. I'm like, just stay here. And I come back, and just me and this guy on the ground. I get down on my knees. I know the guy's name, and I start talking to him. I'm like, hey, it's Ernesto, you there? But I'm scratching his chest, trying to bring him back, trying to wake. Just, are you still in there? There's a little bit of breath, but the guy's alive. He starts coming to. And he's groggy, doesn't know where he is or when he is. And he's scared. He's trying to speak peace over his life. Hey, buddy, I'm right here. You're okay? You had an accident? You fell off the car? You're going to be okay? At that time, it was a horrible situation what happened. Some of the teachers came out of the school, and a parent pulled over from the parking lot, and the teachers and the parent got in a fight about what they should do next. And they're screaming at one another, and there's a kid on the ground bleeding out. And there's adults screaming. I'm just like, what is, I'm like 16, I'm like, what are you guys, like, I don't yell at them, so I don't want to add to the insanity, but in my heart, I'm like, how are you guys so stupid? So they're arguing about what to do. A police officer, first guy on the scene, comes running down Pontiac Lake Road. He's flying, okay? This Barney Fife cop guy decides he's gonna hit the brakes and turn into the parking lot of the school like a G, and he's not a good driver. He loses control and crashes into a metal or a concrete cylinder. Just he goes off the road and ditch, boom! And the siren stops. I'm like, what is happening? The cop gets out of the car, starts running over, like pretending I didn't just crash my car into the school stinking the concrete barrier. Like, it is insanity going on. And the whole time, as all this is happening around me, I'm just trying to stay with this guy, and he's scared. I'm like, you can't get up, bud. You got to stay down. Ambulance comes. I walk him all the way to the hospital ambulance. He gets in. He goes away. My mom, I said, they don't want to leave. And I'm like, I can't. I know I can't for one important reason. Why can't I leave? Because I saw the whole thing happen. I am a witness of the accident. And the police had to take my name and take my statement. And I had to witness to the police of what had occurred that day. Because everyone that was involved, like the driver didn't see what happened. The passenger, the guy who was on the car, he didn't even know what day it is. As an outsider, I saw the entire thing unfold, and I had to give that unbiased, that legally binding testimony to the police. So if anything happened later, whether it be a lawsuit or he needed his health care covered by the sinking hospitals, I had to be a witness of those events. I had to speak of what I saw. This was this and this. And this, I saw it all happen. Here's my name. Here's my secret phone number. You can hold me to it. I am not lying. Now, I had to stay there for like an hour and a half. So it was very inconvenient to be a witness. There's the fear they're going to call you, go to court. That's not fun, right? Seeing something, sometimes it's like a lot of bad movie stuff that way. You see a murder, like, oh, I wish I didn't see that because now I'm going to be thinking the mafia is going to want to kill me instead. You know, it's like being a witness is a tough thing. But this section of Acts is all about the importance of being a witness. Because this portion of Acts we just read, Christ is about to ascend into heaven. He spent 40 days with his people. 40 days he spent loving and investing in his disciples. And now he's going. And before he leaves, he gives them his marching orders. I'm leaving. This is what I want you to do while I'm gone. And it's very easy to choose the wrong thing. Look what happens first. So the first thing that happens is this. So they come together, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? Their first thought is about themselves. They're like, Jesus, Rome has been ruling us for 100 years, bro. Are you going to smoke these guys now? Are you going to put the son of David back on the throne? Are we going to have a great army and crush our foes? Will our nation be exalted? Will our race of people be the strongest starting now? They're profoundly missing the point. Jesus has not come to make any nation, not Israel and not America, great. That's not the point. Not only that, the point is not trying to figure out when the world's going to end. The next thing he says to them is this. He said to them, it is not for you to know the times or seasons the Father has fixed by his own authority. He said, guys, don't spend the next 1,000 years trying to guess when I'm coming back. And they're like, okay. And he leaves, and guess what? They spend the next 2,000 years trying to guess when he's coming back. I don't know how many people send to me in a given year some crazy YouTube video of some Yahoo guy in his base with a chalkboard doing some kind of crazy math, like, well, this word in the Hebrew, the letter 7, and this means Christ is coming back in 2033. That's not the point. The goal of life is not to sit around and do crazy Bible math to find the day Christ is coming back. He says, no one is going to know the time or the season. No one will the day or the hour. I have heard in my lifetime at least 5 strong Christian movements try to put the end of the world. The Mayan in 2012, remember that one? The Mayan thing? in 2012, Y2K in 2000. Man, that was really crazy. I mean, we missed, and dude, I see so many Christians write books of like Christ coming back in the Y2K. One of the most famous books ever written about Christ coming back was that book, The Late Great Planet Earth. It said Christ will come back in like 1982 or something, and he didn't, so he wrote the sequel, said come back in 85, didn't come then either, but made his money. Our point is not to be like, oh man, is this a sign of the end? The goal of our lives as believers in Christ is not to walk, sit around wondering what every world event means for the prophetic calendar. That's not the point. What is the point? What is the purpose? What mission did Christ give to us before he left? He said this. And there's a lot going on here. He's going to give the Holy Spirit. He's going to give power. But power is not the center of the passage. He tells you where to go, but that's not the center of the passage. The center of the passage is very simple. You will be my witnesses. That's the center. Your job while I'm gone is to witness about me to other people. You must tell other people what you've seen of me. And the apostles actually saw this guy die and saw him get back up and eat a sandwich. They're witnessing to a lot of things. To the rest of us, we have witnessed how Christ changed our lives. We have witnessed how Christ has changed the lives of others. We have witnessed the goodness of God when we did not deserve it. We witness of his saving power to people. Our mission is to witness of Jesus Christ. And we all agree on this. The Billy Graham Center in Wheaton, Illinois did a survey of Christians. Asked a question. The question was, I believe I should share my faith in Jesus with unbelievers. 80% said, yes, I strongly agree. That's most of us were like, that's one of my purposes in life. 75% said they strongly agree with the statement, I believe I am gifted at sharing my faith with others. So 75% said, I can do this well. 80% said we should do it. 75% said I could do it well because I'm a G. And then quite later on in the survey, the question was, how many people you told about Jesus in the last 6 months? And what did everyone write? Zero. Later on, there's a question, it's an easier one. Like, sharing my faith, oh no. The simpler one was, I've invited someone to church in the last 6 months. And for that answer, zero. We all believe we should witness. We believe we can witness, and we don't witness. We don't tell nobody nothing. I met with a lady recently, and she said she was praying to God for a season of life. She said, Lord, I just want someone to invite me to church. And she told me, Pastor, for years, no one would invite me. She'd ask me at her workplace, do you go to church? Do you go to church? like she's trying to find someone to invite her to their church. And we're walking around just, I hope they don't know who I am. I'm trying to, it's like being a Pistons fan in Chicago, trying to hide your jersey on your jacket. Like, Pistons, no one's a Pistons fan. Like being a Tigers fan. Sorry. Sorry, Pistons. We don't witness. We don't tell anybody. You know what we do? We do what Christ did not to do. We take the light we've been given and we hide it under a basket and hope no one sees it. Hope no one asks me about Jesus because I don't know how to answer. And we hide our light. The purpose of our lives is not to accumulate wealth. The point of our lives is to tell people what we've seen of the person Jesus Christ. We have hope. We have healing. We have strength. All the things that have been given to us from God. We have this great joy. And people are around us. People are miserable and they are suffering. And we don't tell them there is more than what you're going through. There is more to this world. We like hide it from them. We are supposed to witness about Jesus. But here's the thing. That ain't easy. When I was a witness to the police, I didn't like that. I don't like giving my name to the cops. Like, I come from Flint. You never give your name to the cops when you're in Flint. Never. So I was like, my name's Ernesto. My mom's number is this. You know, I was scared. Now, in the early church, Christ said, be a witness for me. In the early church, they literally, that first generation of Christians, I mean, the first generation got to India and Africa and up into Europe. They exploded in one generation. But Rome didn't like them. Rome needed someone to blame for the world's problems. This is called a scapegoat, right? And every culture does this. Find someone to blame for the world's troubles, right? Well, Rome blamed the Christians, started killing them in mass. And in the Colosseums, they would just, like, you heard those stories, they would feed Christians lions. And the crowds would watch this. It was like UFC, no holds barred, lions versus people. And people would watch and cheer and eat popcorn. It was nuts. So many early Christian witnesses died. So many of them were killed for their faith. The name witness took a different meaning. Because the Greek word for witness is martyr. So many of them were killed for their faith. The word martyr came to mean someone who dies for their faith. Being a witness is hard. You might be made fun of. You might be called, like when I was in high school, and when I was in high school, I was called part of the God Squad and a Bible thumper. Oh no, they made fun of me for believing in Jesus. Whatever shall I do? Being a Jesus freak of a family isn't always fun. How will we find the strength with this for Christ when it might mean social alienation? Christ says this, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses. So we will witness for Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit. He gives a mission and gives the tool to actually fulfill the mission. He gives us the Holy Spirit of God. Sometimes we might think to ourselves, I'm afraid to tell someone about Jesus, because what if they know I'm a Christian, they might ask me about stuff that I don't know the answer to. That's okay. No one knows all the answers. I spent 4, 6, 8 years in Bible school for a bachelor's degree, and 10, a long time. I don't know all the answers. People ask me, you know, I don't know the answer. You know what I do? I say, I don't know. And that's okay. I'd rather say I don't know than be stupid and be all like, make crap up, which is what most of us do. My daughter's like, why is the sky blue? I'm like, I don't know, fairies. Like, I mean, like, I know it's like a fraction of light or something, but I don't know the real answer. I'm gonna tell her a lie. I'm gonna go, nah, I don't know, ask your mom. So it's okay not to know things. It's okay. What if they ask you hard questions about, like, and there's hard, if your friends and you're a Christian, don't ask you hard questions. Why do bad things happen to good people? Why do good things happen to bad people? They're gonna ask you those questions. You feel like, I don't feel qualified to answer them. None of us are. But the Holy Spirit of God indwelling you, sometimes he'll come and bring a word to you, and you'll be able to say the thing. I can't tell you how many emails I've gotten. I'll talk to someone in counseling or something, and I'll tell them, I have no wisdom for you. I'm sorry, I don't know what to do. I'll get an email or a call later going, Pastor, I know you said you had no wisdom, but your presence that day was God's hand to me. And God's Spirit in me ministered to them. I didn't even know what was happening. You have the Spirit of God in you. You can witness. You don't need to be the most qualified or the most skilled or the most trained. If you're willing, he'll use you. He'll show up. It ain't going to be easy. But he's given you his Spirit. He's given us a Spirit. So we witness of Jesus Christ through the power of his Spirit. So where do we go? He says, verse 8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. You will be my witnesses, my martyrs in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth. So we must witness of Jesus Christ through the Holy Spirit to the ends of the earth. But here's the deal. Christ gave us this like four-pronged strategy. Start where you are. Then start in Jerusalem. We live here. Reach your neighbors for Jesus. Then all of Judea, which is like Michigan or Genesee County. To go to Flint, then Genesee County. Then you know what Samaria is? That's Davison. People who are near you but different than you. That's where the rich people live over there. But I'm just being stupid. I'm sorry. It's that one neighborhood in Grand Blanc, I guess. I don't know. But so then the ends of the earth. So I'm gonna say, here's something real quick. The first movement is reach people who are just like you. Reach people who speak your language, who share your culture, share your beliefs. Tells the Jews to reach Jews. If you're a white church, reach white people. If you're a black church, reach black people. Start off wherever your neighborhood is, start there. But it doesn't stop there. Most churches just stop right there. We're like, we're all alike. This is so great. Christ says, you got to go to Samaria. And Samaria, to the Jew, the Jews did not go to Samaria because Samaria had this bad history where when Assyria destroyed parts of Israel, the Samaritans took a bunch of Israeli women and had kids, and these kids were half Jewish and half of the enemy. And the Jews hated those people, considered them like impure blood. They were racially angry at those people. And Jesus said, you gotta go. Those people you hate because of their race, you're wrong, and you gotta reach them. You know what they call that? We call that racial reconciliation, yo. You gotta walk across that stinking thing. We're not allowed to hang out with people just like us and say, well, I'm scared of other colors. We have to go across. Other people might be different than us, come from the other side of the railroad tracks. We still have to engage people. The dream of my heart, the dream of my life is to be a church full of white, brown, black, Asian. I want the Crayola crayon box in our house. Not only that, I'm blessed that underneath this tent, don't go crazy. I don't want no amens right now. I know in our house, we have people in the next 2 months are going to vote for Trump, vote for Biden, vote for Joe Jurgensen, whatever that person's name is. It's some kind of European name. I can't say. It's like Denmarkish or something. I'm sorry. It's like from that. It's from the Hanging Countries. Right, babe? Okay, Swedish. where people in our church are not going to vote at all. They're not going to vote. And all four of those crews, I'm so glad we're here. That we, though we have difference in political ideologies, because we are one in Christ, we can get past this stuff. This Wednesday on our, we have a Wednesday morning Q&A. I had a believer in Christ ask me the question this week. Sincerely asked me the question, Pastor, do I have to vote for Donald Trump? Because some Christians try to bully them, saying, if you're a believer, you must vote this way. You can watch on Wednesday, I said it there, I'll say it again. We don't bully people like that. If you draw a line in the sand and say, to be a Christian, you must be like me, you're the bad guy. Whew, oh, crap. Okay, so, you're the Pharisee when you do that. When you say you must be like me and talk like me and dress like me, you're not on Team Jesus. You're on a different team, and we're against you. not like fighting you, but just we're preaching a different message. Different message we're preaching, yo. So we got to go to Jerusalem. We got to go to Flint. We got to go to Judea, which is why we're so pumped that Pastor Octavio is going to the east side. We want to reach all of our whole city for Christ. Next week, Good Church will be leading worship. So Good Church's praise band will be here next Sunday. They have 5 singers. I don't know what's going to happen next Sunday. It's going to be nuts. But they're going to the north side. We're pumped to see God. Listen, these people are not our enemy. North Flint, Good Church, these new works, we're not fighting them. We are praising God for their ministries. We got to reach Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria. We got to reach Samaria to the ends of the earth. We, as a church, we give money to India, South Africa, Haiti. We had mission trips planned this year to India and Haiti, but got canceled because of COVID. But we go overseas and bring the gospel. Let me tell you this right now. I see believers in Christ who will go on a mission trip to India and be all bold and like preach Jesus when they're in India, come home, and they hide the light again. If you can do it there, you got to do it here too. But I was on a mission trip. Your whole life is a mission trip. When you go outside your door, there are people around you who need Jesus Christ. We got to go to the ends of the earth. That's our mission. And how long do we got to do it for? When I was a kid, I was told that the goal of life was to do good in school, right? Do good in school. Do good in elementary. Why do you do good in elementary, do good in high school? Why do you do good in good? Why do you do good in high school? To go to college. You got to do good in college. Why do you do good in college? To get a good job. And why do you need a good job? To make that money. Now, why do you need the money? To buy a nice house and to buy nice stuff. And why do you buy a nice house and why do you buy nice stuff? To have a great garage sale. No, listen. And a lot of people think, a lot of people think the goal of working is someday I'm going to retire. And when I retire, I'm going to be the laziest piece of crap in the world. It's going to be awesome. That's the goal, right? I'm going to retire and I'll never mow a lawn again. Like that's the goal of life, right? That's what we think. But here's the deal. When you're employed by Jesus Christ, we never, ever retire. Our mission, I always used to say to my wife, and I got to give up one of my dreams. One of my dreams, the Lord took it away from me right now in front of all of you. One of the dreams of my life would be a crotchety old man. I just wanted to sit on my front porch and be like, get off my lawn. I just wanted to be that guy. I just wanted to be crotchety and mean and cantankerous. All these great words start with C. But the Lord, I may someday I'll have to put down this mantle and empower the next generation. I'm going to do that someday. I'm going to give the authority to the next generation so they can lead. I don't want to hold on too long and be that bad guy. But even if I'm not the senior pastor of a church, I'm still going to be on mission proclaiming Christ's goodness to people that I meet. I'm still going to be intentionally loving people. I'm going to have intentional relationships with people because I want to see them meet Jesus. It's going to happen. If I'm 80 or 90 or if I hit a hundo. There's that old joke about guys at the old folks home, how they're all like dirt balls, like they're all like real mean to the girls, like pinching their bottoms and stuff. You heard these stories? Nurses, right? Nurses, old guys are awful, right? I've heard this story about these nurses, the guys are just like, I'm not gonna be that guy. I'm gonna be the guy who asks every nurse who comes in my room, do you know Jesus Christ? And if I suffer, and if I, as I die, I hope with my dying breaths, I can point people home. Christ says these words. Listen, he says, and while they were gazing, and when he said these things, verse 9, when he said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus who is taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as he saw him go into heaven. So we must minister, we must witness of Jesus Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit to the ends of the earth until Christ returns. That's when either we die or he comes back. That's when our job ends. Not when my feet hurt. Not when the money stops flowing. I had a guy ask me, if Flint City Church couldn't afford to pay you, what would you do? Like he was trying to like get me. Like I got, here's a question for you. I got you. And I was like, I'd get a job and keep the church going? Oh, real hard, you know, like that's really, you got me. Like I'm like, I don't do this for the money. We don't do the, like, no one else here. Like, we were here at 8 a.m. setting up these speakers, and none of the people here got paid to do that. Musicians we have playing, for, using their gifts to help minister to you, they're not getting paid to do this, to tear down a setup. We do it because we feel Christ has called, gifted us and called us to point towards Jesus Christ. The purpose of our life is to witness about Christ. Years ago when I saw that kid fall off that car, I told the truth of what had happened. And I felt bad because it got people in trouble. The kid driving the car, guess what? They got in trouble. I could have tried to lie to hide it, but this is the truth. I used to, when I first moved to the city, I used to fib on the truth. People ask me, why'd you move here? I'd be like, to help people. Like I would cower out. I would hide my jersey under my coat. One day the Lord convicted me about it. I was at a gas station pumping gas, and some random dude at the gas station was like, I've seen you all over the city. What are you doing here? Like, that's a weird engagement at a gas station. And I was like, I'm not going to lie to this guy. I was like, man, we're starting a church here in the city. Well, what kind of church? And I was like, a Jesus church? And he's like, that's cool, dude. And I'm like, I'm not going to lie about it. This is why I'm here. This is who I am. This is what I am doing with the time I got left. We are called. Not just me. It's not the pastor's job. Every one of us have people at our workplaces, in our homes, our families who need Christ. And we have that light. You are the salt and you are the light. As Jesus said so clearly, let's let our light shine before others that they may see our good works and give glory to our Father who is in heaven. We can do it. You can do it. You've been gifted by the Spirit to do it. It's hard. But it's not that hard. It's not Rome hard. It's not India hard. It's America hard, which is kind of soft. We can do this, guys. We can. It can be as simple as inviting someone to church. It can be as simple as someone at work having a hard day. You say, hey, listen, I don't need to know nothing. Can I just pray for you? That's a bold thing, asking someone, can I pray for you? That's a bold, like you're getting in their business. But that's you ministering Christ to a lost and needy world. That's our purpose. We continue to do the ministry. This book of Acts is about all that Jesus began to do and teach. We are part two of his story. We're the sequel. With that said, let us pray. Father in heaven, I would ask you to put on our minds in this moment of silence just one person or one family that we know who needs your love, who needs the hope that only you can bring. Bring that name to our mind. Bring that face, that picture to our mind. Help us be faithful to pray for that person. Give us the love to listen to them. Maybe invite them out for a cup of coffee or a meal. Give us the heart to serve them. And give us the boldness to finally share with them the good news of your Son. Let us spend our lives well, being your witnesses, your martyrs of your gospel. In Christ's name, we ask all these things. Amen.